Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive. Today we're going to be taking a close look at the research, specifically before 2010, surrounding the Paleolithic caves in the Afrin region that's in northwestern Syria.
Right, a really crucial area in the northern Levant for understanding early human history.
Absolutely. And we have the material you provided detailing all those findings up to 2009. So our aim today is really to pull out the most significant knowledge from those sources.
It's quite a fascinating part of the world, that landscape, you know, the Jabal Saman Plateau, the wadis, like Wadi Dederiya. It just created these very favorable conditions for early humans, lots of caves.
Yeah, and it sounds like the research there, even before 2010, it really started to shake up the existing ideas about how Paleolithic cultures were distributed.
That's exactly right. It began suggesting a much wider cultural connection across the Levant than people had maybe thought before.
Pushing the known boundaries northward.
Precisely. So it wasn't just, you know, oh, look, another site. It was fundamentally shifting the understanding of prehistory in the region.
Okay. So several sites were known, but we're mainly focusing on one today.
Yes, Dederiya Cave. It's really the standout site for this pre-2010 period because of the long-term work done there by the Syria-Japan Joint Archaeological Mission. They started way back in 1987.
That long-term commitment makes a difference.
Huge difference. It allowed for a much, much richer picture compared to maybe quicker surveys elsewhere. We will touch on some of the other caves briefly just to give you that broader context for the period up to 2009.
Okay, Dederiya Cave it is. So paint us a picture. Where exactly is it? What's the setting like?
Right. It's on the left bank of the Wadi Dederiya. That's about, 60 kilometers north of Aleppo. The environment is sort of a sparse Mediterranean woodland.
Okay.
It was spotted in 87, like I said, and the first signs must have been really promising because they launched intensive excavations just 2 years later in 1989. Key figures were Professor Tekuru Akazawa and Professor Sultan Muhesim.
And where did they start digging?
Initially, they focused on an area they called the Chimney Area, and that turned out to be, well, packed with Middle Paleolithic deposits. And importantly, Neanderthal fossils.
Oh, yeah.
Later on, they expanded the work to other parts of the cave and found evidence from even earlier times, the Lower Paleolithic, and also later periods, the Epipaleolithic.
Sounds like a really complex site. What about the cave itself, geologically speaking?
It's a pretty substantial karst feature, you know, formed by water dissolving limestone over long periods. Great for preservation, usually.
How big are we talking?
It's quite large, roughly 60 meters long. And it gets up to maybe 40 meters wide in some spots, two main entrances.
And inside.
Inside, the team defined three main zones, the entrance area, a central area, and that chimney area we mentioned. The pre-2010 thinking was that the chimney probably opened up, geologically speaking, around MIS-4. That's marine isotope stage 4, a cold period. And then it got bigger through erosion later on. What's quite interesting is that the oldest cultural layers, the Abrutian ones in the entrance, they were found tilted, lying directly on the bedrock.
Tilted? What does that suggest?
Well, it might indicate some kind of sinkhole development early on, maybe even while people were starting to use the cave.
Huh. Okay, so a dynamic geological setting too. What did these pre-2010 digs actually uncover about the sequence of human occupation?
A really long and complex sequence, as you said. Right at the bottom, in the entrance area, they found the Lower Paleolithic, represented by the Abrutian industry.
Abrutian, what does that look like, tool-wise?
It's characterized by not using the level-aw technique. So think non-level-aw methods, globular cores, quite thick scrapers, they call them quina or demi-quina scrapers, and very few micro bifaces, these little two-sided tools. Pretty similar, actually, to other Ubrutian sites in the Levant.
Right. And then above that, we get into the Middle Paleolithic Neanderthal time.
Exactly. And that's really well represented, especially in the chimney area. They identified units I through Phi, which contained 15 distinct layers. 15.
Wow.
And these showed a progression early, middle, and late Levantine Mousterian industries. This is the toolkit most associated with Neanderthals, and in the Levant, it often features that sophisticated level-aw technique.
Where they prepared the core first.
Precisely. Careful preparation to strike off predictable flakes. And what's fascinating is they could see variations in how they were preparing the cores over time through those 15 layers. And crucially, these layers are directly linked to the Neanderthal remains found there.
Okay, so Lower and Middle Paleolithic covered, but you mentioned later periods too.
Yes, Epipaleolithic. specifically the tufian layers. Mm-hmm. These were mainly found in the entrance area. This is much, much later, towards the end of the last ice age.
And what did they find from the Natufian?
Evidence of a more settled lifestyle. They uncovered at least five structures, sort of semi-subterranean, built with stone. They had features like stone-lined walls, post holes, hearths, quite like Natufian sites you find further south.
Structures.
And one of them, construction one, was really well preserved. Lots of organic material survived, and they got a series of radiocarbon dates, placing it around 11,000 calibrated years ago.
Good dates on that one. So this cave wasn't just a quick stop. People or hominins were using it over vast stretches of time.
Exactly right. Those multiple layers, spanning potentially hundreds of thousands of years, make Detaria incredibly valuable. It's not just about the Neanderthal fossils, though they're spectacular. It's about long-term human adaptation in this part of the Levant.
And you mentioned expanding the excavations after 2002 was important for that.
Yes, that decision to look beyond the initial hotspots like the chimney was key to revealing the full occupational story, Lower Paleolithic, Epipaleolithic. It broadened the picture immensely.
Let's talk more about those Neanderthals. Detaria became pretty famous for those finds, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Before 2010, it produced the largest collection of Neanderthal fossils known from the entire northern Levant. The first really big one was Detaria 1, found in 1993.
And that was the child burial.
Yes, an almost complete skeleton of a Neanderthal child, maybe around 2 years old, found in a middle Paleolithic layer in the chimney area. And the context was stunning.
How so?
It seemed to be an intentional burial. The child was lying on its back, there was a limestone slab placed under its head, and a flint tool resting on its chest.
Wow. That really does suggest something more than just, you know, discarding a body, ritualistic behavior.
It points very strongly in that direction. Compelling evidence for deliberate burial practices among Neanderthal.
And wasn't there another one? Detaria 2.
Yes, found between 1997 and 1998. Another Neanderthal child, also about 2 years old. This one was found in a pit, seemingly dug deliberately in a different area of the cave.
Also a burial context.
It seems so. This one was more incomplete, but it was actually the first Neanderthal find from Syria that allowed for a facial reconstruction of a child.
Incredible. So two child burials. Were there others?
Yes. Besides those two, they found fragmentary remains of other Neanderthals. The pre-2010 estimates suggested at least 10 individuals, maybe even up to 15, represented by the fossils recovered.
10 to 15 individuals. That's significant. What did we learn from these fossils about Neanderthals themselves, based on that pre-2010 work?
Well, they provided really important data for looking at Neanderthal growth and development. There were some suggestions, for example, that maybe brain growth was faster in early infancy, but their overall life history, how long it took them to mature, might have been slower than modern humans.
Interesting.
The finds obviously confirmed, you know, solid Neanderthal presence in the northern Levant, and they associated them clearly with a specific type of Mousterian industry, the Tibbun B type.
And the burials.
And the burials, yes. They provided really compelling evidence for, well, symbolic behavior. Challenging those older views of Neanderthals as purely utilitarian beings. Plus, the location itself is important.
Oh, so.
Detaria sits in a key spot for thinking about how different human groups, Neanderthals and maybe early modern humans, moved across the landscape and potentially interacted. Dispersal routes, that sort of thing.
Makes sense. Now, it's not just the bones, right? The stuff found with them, the tools, the other artifacts they must tell a story to.
Oh, absolutely. The archaeological assemblages are just as crucial. We mentioned the Ubrudian tools already, those thick scrapers, few bifaces.
Right.
Then the Levantine Mousterian layers showed that sophisticated Levalois technology and, importantly, variations in that technology over time. Mm-hmm. Then jumping much later to the Natufian.
The more settled period.
Exactly. You see those characteristic tiny tools, the microliths like lunates, these crescent-shaped ones, backed bladelets. You also find pieces with sickle gloss.
From cutting plants.
Yes. Silica-rich grasses or cereals. There's a definite focus on producing blades and bladelets. And interestingly, the types of stone they used suggest they might have been getting some raw materials from outside the immediate area, not local procurement.
What else from the Natufian layers?
Well, animal bones, of course, giving clues about diet found in various layers, actually. But specifically in the Natufian, you also get things like tooth shell beads, pieces of bone or stone with incisions on them, ground stone tools for processing things, bone tools, even sickle handles, all pointing towards that more complex, settled lifestyle.
It's a rich picture. What about dating all this, putting it on a timeline?
The dating work done before 2010 gave some important anchors. They got preliminary radiocarbon dates for the upper levels of the Mousterian, the later Neanderthal occupation, putting them somewhere around, say, 48,000 to 54,000 years ago.
Okay, middle Paleolithic.
And the Natufian occupation, especially in that well-preserved construction one, that was dated quite reliably using a series of radiocarbon dates to about 11,000 calibrated years before present.
And the earliest layers, the Ubruddian.
Correct dates for the Dederai Ubruddian weren't available in the pre-2010 sources we reviewed. But based on where they sit stratigraphically right at the bottom, and by comparing them to other Ubruddian sites across the Levant, they're obviously much older. Potentially very old, maybe as far back as 400,000 years ago, give or take.
400,000 years. That's quite a span of time in one cave.
It really is.
Now, Dederai sounds like the star, clearly. But were other caves in the Afrin area looked at before 2010?
Yes, absolutely. Dederai got most of the attention because of those early major finds. But that initial survey back in 1987 actually identified about a dozen other Paleolithic caves. So it wasn't just Dederai, it was a landscape dotted with potential sites.
Any specific examples?
Well, there was a site called Kordal Cave, which was also attributed to the Levantine Mousterian, so potentially more Neanderthal presence. There were several Hammam sites, cave number 1, 2, 3, and an open-air site nearby. These were tentatively assigned to the Upper Paleolithic, the period usually associated with modern humans, and also some to Levantine Mousterian.
Upper Paleolithic, too. Interesting.
Yeah, and there was another one called Dederai Cave No, separate from the main cave, also attributed to the Upper Paleolithic. But the information is quite limited.
So, identified, but not really excavated in detail before 2010?
Exactly. Compared to the mountain of information from Dederai itself, the pre-2010 details on these other sites are pretty scarce in the sources we looked at. It seems the focus really did lock onto Dederai.
Understood. So, taking all this pre-2010 work together, how did it fit into the bigger picture, the Paleolithic of the Levant as a whole?
It was hugely significant. Firstly, the Neanderthal finds literally extended their known geographical range further north than the Levant.
Mm-hmm.
And, as we've stressed, that burial evidence from Dederai, it became a major talking point in debates about Neanderthal cognition, behavior, symbolism.
Right. Move the needle on that discussion.
Definitely. Yeah. And the cultural sequence itself, Ubruddian, Mousterian, Natufian, showed that the northern Levant shared these broad cultural and technological traditions found further south. It suggested a continuous zone of hominin activity and probably interaction right across the Levant.
A connected world in a way.
In a Paleolithic way, yes.
Yeah.
And Afrin's location, again, made it really important for thinking about movement, potential dispersal routes for hominins moving between, say, Anatolia and the southern Levant or further afield.
And the Natufian finds.
Also important. Finding those structured settlements and associated Natufian material culture so far north showed that these complex adaptations, this shift towards settling down at the end of the Ice Age, wasn't just a southern Levantine phenomenon. It extended further north than maybe previously appreciated.
No, oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Roj Bosh, Hannah.
Ah, perfect timing. Hello, Hannah.
Roj Bosh.
Oh, this smells wonderful today, Anna. Really fragrant. Is that a hint of cinnamon I'm getting?
Hmm, possibly. It smells very warming. Let's give it a try.
Sips.
Eh.
Hmm. Oh, that's lovely. It's not bitter at all today. Sometimes it needs a bit of sugar, but this is just right. Thank you.
Sips. Mm, yes, agreed. Beautifully balanced. Thank you, Hannah. Just yeah. What we needed.
Okay. Warmed up and refreshed. let's try and wrap this up. Thinking about everything we've discussed regarding the pre-2010 research in Afrin, what are the main takeaways? Well, I think the main point is that this pre-2010 work, especially focused on Dederai caves, really put the northern Levant, specifically the Afrin region, on the Paleolithic map. It massively advanced our understanding.
How so, primarily?
Through that incredibly long cultural sequence they uncovered, and of course those spectacular Neanderthal finds, the burials, the number of individuals, it gave us invaluable insights into Neanderthal life, their behavior, maybe even their beliefs. It cemented the region as absolutely critical for studying this period.
Even though Dederai was the main focus.
Yes. While other sites were identified, Dederai really was the powerhouse of information before 2010. And the knowledge gained there highlighted how interconnected the Levant was during the Paleolithic. It pushed the known boundaries for cultures like the Natufian and confirmed Neanderthals were definitely comfortable this far north.
But it also hinted at more to find.
Absolutely. It simultaneously showed the huge potential that remained untapped in those other caves identified in the surveys. Plenty left to explore.
It really does sound like those pre-2010 explorations in Afrin offer a truly fascinating window into a very deep past. Dead Arai especially, you picture those layers, the Neanderthal burials. It really makes you think about the complexity, the adaptability of these early populations.
It does. They weren't just surviving. They were living complex lives in that landscape.
And it definitely leaves you wondering, what else is waiting to be discovered in those other caves? The ones that were identified but barely touched before 2010? What new angles on the Levantine Paleolithic might be hidden there?
A very pertinent question. That pre-2010 work laid a fantastic foundation, but clearly signaled there was much more to the story.
A compelling picture, setting the stage for hopefully more research in the future. Thank you for joining us for this exploration here on the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.